Go to Luke 22, verse 63. I want to start off with that. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gave me a powerful word to share tonight. Just be open. You know, I say this in my messages that, you know, a lot of things are said in a sermon. And you don't necessarily have to remember everything that's being said. But there's going to be certain things that stick in your spirit. Do you know what I mean by that? Something that it feels like I'm coming right up to you personally and slapping you right in the face. That's the Holy Spirit saying, remember that. That's for you. Amen? Here we go. Luke 22, verse 63. It says, now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And many other spoke against him. Go to John 19. I'm feeling pretty good up here. Oh, hallelujah. There is no high like the Most High, amen? John 19, 28 through 42. This is going to be fun. All right, here we go. I'm going to try to plow through this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Oh, hallelujah. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Well, as you know, and why you all are here tonight, it is Good Friday. It is the day that we remember the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. My message title tonight is, It is Finished. Say, it is finished. It is finished. When Jesus declared, it is finished, he was making it known to all that there is nothing more that he needed to accomplish on this earth as the spotless, the sinless Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Amen? His duty, Jesus' duty and purpose on this earth, his mission was 100% accomplished through his sinless life and his sacrificial death on the cross. Now, someone might be thinking this when I said that. Well, he still had to be raised from the dead, right? That crossed my mind when I first got saved. Why did Jesus say it is finished, but he wasn't raised from the dead yet? Wouldn't you think, wouldn't he say it is finished after he got raised from the dead? But listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said the resurrection from the dead was not Jesus' responsibility. That was the responsibility of our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus had nothing to do with his resurrection from the dead for in his earthly body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was a miracle that was done by the will of the Father and the ability, wonder-working ability and supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So when Jesus said, it is finished, he absolutely was correct. His personal responsibility in allowing himself to be the spotless Lamb of God was indeed 100% fulfilled on his part. Jesus made the provision or the provisions for all of mankind, for all of the people that would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross, it ended the old covenant. Amen. Praise God for that. And it started a new and better covenant through his sinless shed blood on the cross. The word of God literally says that it's a new and better covenant upon better promises. I like that. I would have been good with new covenant, right? But it's better. Say better. I like better. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Say it one more time. Say better. Now, in the old covenant, God revealed, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. In this new and better covenant, let me just tell you this. If you're here and you need healing in any part of your body, soul, or whatever, all right? God has not taken divine healing and miracles out of the equation. If he did it in the old, he's surely doing it in the new. Amen? Amen. Because God doesn't change. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the word says. In this new and better covenant, God has not taken, come on, divine protection. He hasn't taken even prosperity out of the equation. Deuteronomy 8:18, this is in the old covenant. He said the Lord gives us power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. Now, if God were to take that part out, would you call that a better covenant? Okay. Better not talk about prosperity or money, right? No, God wants you blessed. He doesn't want you living in poverty or lack. Amen? He wants you to have enough for your needs and then some to be a blessing to other people. Amen? In fact, all of those things are even more sure. All of these promises in the Word of God are even more sure and sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the catch. Are you ready for this? All of the blessings of the new covenant, of this new and better covenant, all of the blessings of salvation, ready for this? Must be activated and received by your faith. That's why I said Jesus made the provision for all of these things. It's a provision. It's not automatic in your life. Amen? Now, what is a covenant? If we're in a covenant, I want to know what covenant is, right? Here we go. A covenant is defined as this, as a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, a promise, or a contract between two or more parties, often involving specific actions or restrictions. That's interesting, right? Because we're supposed to stay away from what? Sin. I mean, you know there's restrictions in this covenant. It implies a strong pledge commonly used in legal, real estate, and religious contexts to define certain obligations. Now, our pledge, how we enter into this, covenant, this new and better covenant, our pledge to get into this thing, right? God provided, Jesus provided this new and better covenant, but our pledge is this, that we believe with our heart and we speak with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's a pledge. You're saying Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of all, and he's Lord of my life personally. Amen? So that is a covenant. It's a contract between two or more parties, often involving specific actions or restrictions. The two parties are these. Ready for these? This, God and mankind. God and mankind. That's the two parties involved in this thing, right? In the context of the new covenant, it means that God has his part, and we also have our part in this, come on, legally binding agreement. How many of you know God is a legalist? There are things, oh, come on, somebody. There are spiritual laws that we need to put into motion. Amen? Listen to this. God isn't telling humanity, he's not saying to humanity, let's make a deal. He's telling humanity this, here is the deal. Here's what I'm offering you. Take it or leave it. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't let's make a deal. It's here is the deal. You want it or not? You either accept it on his terms or you get nothing. And then you have to pay for your own sins and live a cursed life on this earth. And then you got to look forward to hell and hell thrown in the lake of fire for eternity. Either you accept what Jesus did or you're going to pay for it yourself. That's the deal, right? God has made the contract with humanity and has set the standards. And those standards are twofold. Say twofold. There are two standards. Here's how you get into this contract then. Let's just call it like this. Ready? Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. That's it. The specific actions and restrictions within this new covenant is that our responsibility as Christians is this, to obey the word of God, to obey God's commands, and avoid sin. That's our part in this contract, in this covenant. And we're also expected to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm kind of laying a foundation here. I'm laying a foundation. This has to be laid. When you talk about even healing, when you talk about any of the benefits in the Word of God, any of the promises, you've got to understand what covenant is. And you tap into each promise, each specific promise through faith and obedience. You can't get away from it. It's faith and obedience. Say faith and obedience. So putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection from the dead, and confessing him as Lord will cause you to become born again, which means welcome into this new agreement with your Creator. Amen? All right. The new covenant at that point is activated in your life. So here's a spiritual truth that you need to understand. Faith and obedience, I just said it a minute ago, but I'm going to break it down even more. Faith and obedience must be applied to every promise connected to the new covenant in the Word of God. Every promise. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, right? We are expected to ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to receive him, to have a desire to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, to receive that experience specifically. Amen? The Holy Spirit baptism, by the way, for those who don't know, and there's probably some watching or in here that you don't know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience after getting born again. After getting born again. Say, after getting born again. See, Paul ran in Acts, I believe it was 16 or 19. I think it was 19. He ran into some certain disciples, and Paul had something very interesting. This is way after Jesus ascended into heaven, died on the cross, and ascended into heaven. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit, ready, since you believed? That must mean you don't get everything when you believe. He's talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, amen? When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of your spirit man. That's where he gave you a new heart, a heart that's bent toward God. He took away that sin nature out of your spirit. Amen? But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's already in you, but he comes upon you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, to endue you with power. That's what Acts 1:8 says, right? To be a powerful witness for Jesus. In fact, Jesus didn't do one miracle until he received the Holy Spirit baptism. Remember, he got water baptized, came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Say upon.
Upon.
Say within.
And upon.
Oh, there's a lot of Christians that have him within, but they haven't received him upon. And that's why we look like weaklings on this earth. That's why there's no boldness. Come on, somebody. You get the Holy Spirit baptism, and it's going to give you a whole new level of boldness, and you're going to start seeing amazing things start to happen in your life and ministry. Once you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you become eligible to receive the 9 gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So faith and obedience are connected to divine healing, to miracles, to all of the promises in the Word of God. Say faith and obedience.
Faith and obedience.
Don't ever, if you remember 2 things when you leave here, faith and obedience. Hallelujah. They're so important. Amen. You must believe. You must have faith. And then there will be times when the Holy Spirit leads you to do an action connected to receiving something from him. Did you hear what I just said? You must believe and have faith. And then the Holy Spirit might give you specific instructions. In fact, the Holy Spirit may instruct you to attend a specific service. Maybe some of you here, maybe a visitor, you felt the leading, the nudging of the Holy Spirit to come here tonight. There's a reason why he did that, because there's something here that he wants to give you. Amen? So I say it all the time from the pulpit on Sundays. I said some of the most powerful meetings I've ever been to were ones where I didn't even want to go, but I felt led to go. And I was kicking and screaming all the way there. But when I got there, now I knew why the devil didn't want me to go. Because there was some provision in that place that the Holy Spirit wanted to give me that I wasn't going to get anywhere else. Why? Why does God do that? Why couldn't he just give it to you sitting at home in your fat pants tonight? Why? Want to know why? Ready? Faith and obedience. The Holy Spirit will have you do things just to see where it give you a heart check. Say heart check. My point is this. Our faith and obedience activate the new covenant. It activates the benefits of the new covenant in our life. We must believe and receive each and every benefit of the new and better covenant. That's why you got some people, man, they're kicking on this whole prosperity thing, but they don't believe in maybe divine healing. You see what I'm saying? They major on one, minor in others. But the Holy Spirit says, no. Major in all of my word. Major in all of it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit said, what you major in, you will receive in your life. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Hallelujah. Man, there's an amazing anointing and presence of God in here. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, most of you know it well, verses 1 through 5, let's take a look at. Jesus said, it is finished. He's not going to climb back on that. He's not going to come back down to earth. He's not going to climb back on a cross and do this thing all over again. No, he already did it. He already did it. Now the provision's there. Now you just got to take hold of it into your life. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. In all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Ready for this? If you have a pen, get ready to underline some things. And forget not all his benefits. There's a lot of benefits. Friends, this is even the Old Testament. This is old covenant talk. Now we're under a new and better covenant. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Not some. All the provision is there. who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So this psalm, this is written by David. David was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. And again, this was under the old covenant. God tells us in this psalm, he says, forget not. Say, forget not. Forget not all of his benefits. So now, if God is telling us to forget not, what do you think the temptation's gonna be? What do you think our human weakness is gonna be? Forget. To forget. That's why when God gives us an encouragement, when he tells us to do something, when he gives us a command, there's a reason for it. Because we're gonna be bent on doing that thing, and he has to tell us, no, get it back in line. Forget not. Say, forget not. We have benefits as Christians under this new and better covenant. The benefits listed in this psalm, by the way, are still available. They're still active. Jesus made a provision for all of these amazing benefits and more. So it says this specifically. What's interesting is this. So this is not a complete list of what's available through Jesus, right? Of what God has available. This is just a partial list. But I find it interesting. When I read the Word of God and I see a partial list, I start to kind of think, okay, these must be things that the Holy Spirit really wants us to get a hold of. Are you following me? Because there's more than this, but he lists these things specifically. So God forgives sin. Don't forget that. He heals all your diseases. Don't forget that. He redeems our life from destruction and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Come on, don't forget that. He satisfies our mouth with good things and renews our youth like the eagles. Don't forget that. I love this. Okay, so when you see a partial list, this means the Holy Spirit saying, pay attention to these things. Because these things, oh, hallelujah, listen to this, what I just heard on the inside. He said, these are things that the devil is going to make you try to forget. Oh, come on. In every encouragement from God, in every command from God, it's exposing Satan's playbook against humanity. How many of you know that? Now, so the Holy Spirit, through David, made it known to us in this psalm that it's easy to forget all of God's benefits in our life. Now, here's why. The Holy Spirit knew that this life that we live on this earth would be filled, say filled, with many distractions, and that the enemy would be working overtime against us Christians to get us distracted, and that we would get discouraged when dealing with certain issues of our life. He knew it was going to be, it could get very easy to where our focus gets off of the Word of God. The main reason the Holy Spirit was admonishing us not to forget all of the benefits for this very important reason. If we forget about them, are you ready for this? Say, I'm listening. Because this is so important. The main reason the Holy Spirit admonished us not to forget these things and all of the benefits is this. If we forget about them, all the benefits, we will not be partakers of those benefits. We will not receive them. It's not automatic. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. And his job is also to reveal what Jesus has made a provision of, and we take advantage of it. Did you know that brings glory to Jesus? Right? Right? I mean, after all, Jesus bled and died on a cross. He took stripes on his back. The man went through crazy pain. And Jesus is saying, look, here's the provision. It brings me glory when you take advantage of all the benefits that I've given you through my shed blood. Faith begins. Listen to this. So if we forget about these things, if they're not in our thoughts, in our remembrance, in our heart, faith begins where the will of God is known. And remember, our responsibility in the new covenant are twofold. What are they? Faith and obedience. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says that, right? We not only need knowledge of the benefits, but we also need to keep those benefits, each benefit, fresh in our soul, fresh in our mind, fresh in our heart. What does that mean? Fresh in our thought life. Say thought life. We got to keep them fresh in our thought life if we're going to be partakers of them. Listen, you're not just going to bump into them in a dark room and receive them. Do you hear what I just said? They're received on purpose. Say on purpose. Now, knowledge of a benefit or a promise in the Word of God, and then forgetting about it when you need it the most. As I was writing this message, all of a sudden this example came to me. So you have knowledge of it. Sure, you know God's a healer, but you're in the midst of it and all you're doing is focusing on that sickness or disease or whatever it is. He said, it's like carrying a gun around without ammunition in it. What's the point? It's worthless to you. Are you hearing me? In Hosea 4:6, God says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But guess what? People also perish when they forget about the benefits. It's a lack of knowledge of knowing our benefits in the Word of God, our benefits of the new covenant. Did you know the Word of God is literally in the spirit realm? Are you ready? Is a legal contract. This is a spiritual constitution. Do you know something? If you and I don't know the Constitution, who do you think is going to take advantage of us? The government. If we don't know this Constitution and the Word of God and what belongs to us and our benefits, who do you think is going to take advantage of us? The enemy, the kingdom of darkness. So it's impossible to have faith for a benefit, a promise, without, number one, there needs to be knowledge of that benefit. You need to know the will of God on that matter. If you don't know what's in there, you're not going to take advantage of it, right? It's like you having an insurance policy. Do you think if you have something catastrophic happen and you don't know that benefit is in there, do you think the insurance company is going to call you up and say, hey, by the way, you know, this could be covered? No. We're expected to know some things. That's why God says, my people, not sinners, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Yeah. So it's impossible to have faith without knowledge of that benefit, of what God's will is in that matter. And it's impossible to have faith for a benefit when it's not in your thought process. Come on. Or not in your focus. Because number one, do you know faith is an act of your will? You choose to have faith or unbelief or doubt. You choose, all right? Again, it's an on-purpose effort of remembering, of receiving. It's you're making a choice, I'm going to focus on God's word. Why? Ready? We walk by faith and not by? Okay? What you're seeing in the natural, what your body's screaming at you. I mentioned this a couple sermons ago. Faith doesn't deny the problem. You know what it does? It ignores it. There's a difference. Denial's just stupid, right? Remember everybody who's at Living Waters Chapel? Like, hey, you got a problem with your leg? Nope, just doing just fine. Thanks. It's great. That's denial. Faith is this. God, I believe your word. I believe that your word says that I am healed. There's a difference. Yes. There's denial and then there's ignoring. Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered the promise of God greater, come on, than what Sarah's womb was. Ooh, come on, somebody. You gotta count the promises of God greater than what your body's saying, than what that doctor is giving you that death sentence. Are you following me? Go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Hallelujah. Now we're cooking with grease. Holy Ghost oil from heaven. Ah, from the throne room. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. Let's take a look at this. You getting anything out of this? How fun is this? Isn't it fun gathering together as believers on a Friday night? Remember when we were unsaved, what we were doing on Friday nights? This is much better.
Amen.
All right. Now, Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. This next part blows me away. And health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. There's a promise of divine healing right there, talking about the flesh. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's so clear in there that you need a demon to deceive you about God's promise for divine healing. Think about that. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it says, give attention, give awareness, give your focus to the word of God. Don't let the words, the promises in the word, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Know what, when it talks about the heart, keep them in the midst of your heart. That's just another way of saying your thought life. Keep thinking about it. Meditate on the promises in the word. Think about them. Get that problem that you're dealing with out and start meditating on the promise of God that deals with that problem. Amen? They are life and even health to all of our flesh. We keep the promises of God fresh in our thought life by focusing on them, by meditating on them. Listen, meditation on the word basically is this. Let me make it real simple, because some people get freaked out by the word meditation because the New Agers have ruined it. And so Christians get all scared of it. No, meditation is God's idea. And meditation on the word of God simply is this. Are you ready? Break it down. It's prolonged thought of something. It's not just a passing thought. It's prolonged thought. Praying about it. Lord, give me more insight on this. Give me more revelation about this. It's prolonged thought. That makes sense? Yeah. Now, here we go. When we do that, when we meditate on the word of God, when we keep our thought life filled with the promises of God, here's what it's doing. Not only are you filling your thought life with good things that's going to affect you, body, soul, and spirit, but here's what it does as well. Are you ready? It leaves no room for negative thoughts of fear, doubt, and unbelief to enter in. When fear, doubt, and unbelief come knocking, it says, sorry, no vacancy. I'm thinking about the word of God. I'm thinking about God's ability. I'm not going to think about this other stuff. Amen? Now, Ephesians 4:27 commands us not to give place. Say place. Place to the devil. That is literally talking about place in your thought life. That's talking about place. That's really the only place the enemy can get a hold of your life is in your thought life. Strongholds in your thought life. Keep the enemy's thoughts out of the flow of your thoughts, thought life. Keep the enemy's thoughts out of the flow of your thought life, right? I mean, it's like if you're by a river or something, right? And you see a piece of junk coming across. It's like, oh, take it out. Throw it out. That's what you're doing. When a thought that doesn't line up with the word of God, you're just picking it up out of that river of thoughts and throwing it out. Amen? Ephesians 4:27 about not giving place to the devil. That is a command that requires our obedience. Commands in the word of God require our obedience. Amen? And that is part of our covenant with God. That's our part. See, everyone thinks that it's just this covenant with God in the new covenant, that it's just God alone. We have nothing, no part to play. You do have a part to play. That's like a couple getting married and the wife is faithful, but the husband's out doing whatever. He's not faithful. No, both need to play a part in this thing if this thing's going to work, right? That's what covenant is. There's a two-way street, right? So the point I'm really trying to drive home is this, is that we need to keep the promises in the Word of God fresh in our heart, fresh in our thought life. We need to keep the finished work of Jesus always fresh in our heart or in our thought life to take advantage of each benefit of the new covenant. All right? Again, Jesus is not going to come back to the earth, climb back on that cross, and do things all over again. No, when he took his last, before he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." Now, on this side of the cross, under this new and better covenant, it is our responsibility to believe and receive each benefit he has provided for us on the earth, and that includes divine healing. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, let's take a look at a prophecy about Jesus many years before he even came to this earth, all right? Isaiah 53, 1 through 5, let's take a look at. Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. It says, "Who has believed our report?" See, we're still asking that today. The Lord's still asking that today. Who has believed our report? Who believes that these promises are still for today? Who believed? Amen? Who has believed our report? "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." It's talking about Jesus. It's a prophetic word about him. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." Ready? Here's what I want you to get. Verse 4. Let's listen to this. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Here it is. "And by his stripes we are healed." Now, here we go. Let's break this down. It says, Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. By his stripes we are healed. The Hebrew words that are translated griefs and sorrows. This is the importance of doing word studies, all right? The Hebrew words that's translated griefs or sorrows is a reference to sickness. Ready? In spiritual sickness and physical sickness, both. Say both realms. Jesus bore our sins and sicknesses and diseases upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. But it's only by, now, oh, wow, I just felt something come on back to me. I could hear it now. Someone says, yeah, but we got to die of something. Do you know that Moses, when he died, he climbed up Mount Nebo. He had enough strength to climb a mountain, and it says the Lord just took his breath. Hello. How much faith are we going to have here? This much or this much? Or where are we going here? How much do you want to believe do you want to believe that God is a good enough God that he would do the same for you? Yes. Yes. Right. Or do you want to suffer with something? Amen. Come on. Think about it. But it's only by faith that you can tap into that benefit. Sickness, disease, and infirmities are a spiritual problem at the root. Did you just hear what I said? Sickness, disease, and infirmity, it is at the root, a spiritual problem, all right? Those evil things, how can I say that? What basis can I even get to that? Ready? Those evil things did not enter this earth and into mankind until Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. It was literally this. The gate that allowed the curse in was sin. Say sin. The gate of sin was the entry point. So if you're going to say God's okay and he's good with sickness, disease, and infirmity, then you got to stay congruent and you got to say he's okay with sin. Because those things entered in through sin. Those things are literally listed as a curse. Hello, somebody. Mankind gave in to the devil's lies and temptation the first time around in the Garden of Eden. But you don't have to allow the devil to steal your blessings, to steal your benefits under this new and better covenant. Are you following me? Now, I'm telling you, the body of Christ, we got to stretch our faith more. Because, you know, we're so used to it. Usually what happens was, right? Look, even my mom died at 54 years old of a heart attack. Some people are hearing this and they're getting offended because a loved one died of a disease or a sickness. They're getting offended. Some people watch it, they might get offended by it. Listen, I'll tell you this right now. When my mom died at 54, it didn't shake my faith at all in the promises of healing in the Word of God. And here's another thing. There's usually something else going on that you don't even know about in that person's life. Are you following me? So don't start getting all offended by this talk here. This is the Word of God. This is promises in the Word of God. Amen? So listen, sin was the entry point or the gate that allowed the curse, say curse, to enter into the earth. And Jesus is the solution to that sin problem. So if he's the solution to the sin problem that came in, he's the solution to the sickness problem, the disease problem, and the infirmity problem on this earth. Because they're all tied together. Amen? Now, I want you to notice this passage in Isaiah 53. It says that by his stripes we are healed. Do you notice this is a prophetic word? This is prophetically speaking years before Jesus came, but it says we are healed. Jesus didn't come yet, but this prophecy puts it in present tense. Now, here's the Holy Spirit showed me something. I can't fully articulate it, but there's something about the prophetic anointing. Even when someone speaks a prophetic word, even something for the future, there's something presently happening. The prophetic anointing. I'll get back with you on that some other time. I'm still praying that one out. But the prophetic anointing is powerful. Amen? Now, let's look at a verse in the New Testament that talks about this same thing that refers to Isaiah. And it mentions it in the New Testament. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. You can't let your personal feelings of a loved one who passed away with a sickness or a disease, you can't let that get in the way of your faith in God's promises. You can't, you can, but then you're just not going to receive. But I want you to receive. Amen? We got to believe God. I mean, he's the one that said it, not James. Come on. Amen? 1 Peter 2. I'm just radical enough to believe the promises in the Word. How about you? 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. Okay. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Did you just hear what I just read? Isn't that powerful? We're to follow in Jesus' steps. How? By not committing sin and not letting deceitful things come out of our mouth. Interesting, huh? Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Here it is, verse 24. This is tying back to what we just read in Isaiah 53. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, this is in the New Testament. It doesn't say you are healed. What does it say? You were healed. Now it's pointing back to the cross. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is interesting. Forgiveness of sins is closely connected and tied into divine healing. Because Jesus, when he was healing someone, Jesus said this, very interesting. He said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up, walk, and be healed? Hello, somebody. What about the one when he healed someone and he told the man, he said, go and sin no more, lest a what? Worse thing come upon you. So now I'm not saying everyone who has a sickness or a disease, there's unconfessed sin, but there might be. I don't know. The Holy Ghost knows. That person probably knows. Are you following me? Y'all getting kind of quiet up in here tonight. Y'all getting kind of quiet, touching some pretty touchy things here. But it's got to be said. It's got to be said. Amen? Now, so it says that you were healed. It's past tense. The provision for our healing has already been made, and it's available anytime you need to tap into the spiritual and the physical benefits of the promises of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit said this to me when I wrote this, and I wrote this down even this afternoon. He said, your pool of Bethesda is always available for you to step into to get healed. Oh, come on, somebody. Your pool of, remember the pool of Bethesda? It said an angel came down, stirred the water, and the first one to get in and touch it was healed. But now, guess what? The restriction of the first one is gone. Do you hear what I just said? The benefit of righteousness and healing and everything else through Jesus is from the atonement. Say atonement. Now, atonement, yes, we're in theological school now. Ready? Everybody sit up straight, act all dignified, right? We're in seminary. Now, listen. Here we go. Let's just break this down. What is atonement? Atonement, very easily. Atonement is the act of making reparations or amends or satisfaction for a wrong, for an injury, or for sin, effectively covering the offense to restore harmony. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, we have an atonement. Jesus made an atonement. Atonement, when you put your faith in him, everything he has now belongs to you, basically. Amen? That is so amazing when you think about it. It's mind-blowing, really. And if you get a revelation of it, it'll probably knock you on the ground and you'll be crying, holy, 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 for the next 12 hours, right? But since sickness, disease, and infirmity, poverty, you name it, anything that came into this earth to mankind through the curse of sin has been reversed through the Lord Jesus Christ for you personally through faith. Now that's powerful. By his righteousness. That's why Jesus lived the perfect sinless life. In fact, that atonement gives you, when you put your faith in him, he makes you totally righteous. You receive the righteousness of God through Jesus. Now, Jesus closes, you could say it this way then, Jesus closes that gate of sin which allowed the curse to enter this earth. That when you weren't born again, before you got saved, right? That gate was wide open to the kingdom of darkness. You're just like, hey, kingdom of darkness, come on and get me now. Yeah, you're flowing. You're in that darkness flow. You're in that sin flow. But when you make Jesus Lord of your life, guess what? Jesus says, okay, I'm closing that gate off. Now I'm going to give you a new heart where you're bent toward me to do righteousness. I'm going to give you circumcision of the heart. I'm going to take that sin nature away. So now you're going to have a desire for me and to do my things. Ezekiel 36 talks about that new heart. Now go to Galatians 3. I want to prove to you that Jesus reversed the curse. Say that with me. Say, Jesus reversed the curse. Don't you like the sound of that? That has a nice ring to it. Oh, that'd make a good t-shirt. Anybody who's wanting to make some t-shirts, there you go. Now, Jesus reversed the curse. You're welcome. I want a little bit of a cut of that if it really takes off. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. This is powerful. This is powerful. Jesus reversed the curse. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Was Jesus crucified on a tree? Yes, he was. Why? Listen, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through faith. Now, here, this is so interesting. In Christ, by faith, we are delivered from the curse of the law. The curse of the law can be found, by the way, if you want to do your own study, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about the curses and the blessings of obeying the law. Read through them. Anybody like hemorrhoids in here? I have to wake you up somehow, even if it is with hemorrhoid talk. So those things, the curse is found in Deuteronomy 28. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and the list of negative things goes on and on. And the blessing of Abraham contains everything that's positive. Health, prosperity, enough to meet your needs, enough to be a blessing to those around you. Jesus died to reverse the curse. He was raised from the dead to reverse the curse. Listen, here's the thing. We've been so programmed in life. We've been so addicted to this natural realm that even hearing something like this, you're thinking, that sounds too good to be true. It is good, and it is true. That's why 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4 says that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. We should be living higher as Christians. Amen. We're too focused on this. We need to lift our eyes up to where our help comes from. Amen? Amen. The blessing of Abraham contains... How many of you want the blessing of Abraham? I want the blessing. Here's the truth. It's possible to be born again and still live in the curse. Did you hear what I just said? It's possible to still live in that curse. Why? Because it takes faith in every blessing, every benefit, to walk in that benefit and promise. I'm almost done here. Stick with me. Now let go to Matthew chapter 8. Getting close. I'm almost done here. Stick with me now. Keep those eyes open. Anybody have any toothpicks you can keep their eyes open? Now, no, don't do that. Just as a legal issue. I'm not telling anyone to do that, okay? Liability. Now I want to go to a passage here where Jesus is literally ministering, and it refers back to the promise in Isaiah 53. Look at Matthew 8, 16 through 17. I'm telling you, you come to Living Waters Chapel, we're going to make a disciple out of you, whether you like it or not. Amen. You're going to get the word. You're going to get revelation. Amen? Listen to this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed some who were sick. Oh, he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, here it is, Isaiah 53, 4, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He didn't take them on himself just to feel what we would feel. It means he literally took them off so we don't have to deal with them. Now that takes a level, I'm telling you, that takes, some of you heard that and thought, yeah, right, that's too good to be true. You got too much flesh, too much world going on in your mind. Start meditating on the word of God and you'll start to take hold of this revelation. Amen? Now, so Jesus cast out demons. By the way, casting demons out of someone is referred to as healing in the word of God. Deliverance is referred to as healing. All right? So don't ever forget that. And he healed the sick, And so it specifically talks about and points back to Isaiah 53, 4 as a reference in connection to those actions, as a prophetic fulfillment of Jesus. But 1 Peter 2:24 reveals that it's a promise. It wasn't just for that time when Jesus walked the earth, but it's a promise for all the believers now. Are you following me? It's for now. And what would prove that? Are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit made it so clear to me. He said the accounts in the book of Acts and Mark 16, these signs shall follow. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It all those things refers to us now on this earth. Healing didn't stop when Jesus ascended into heaven. Healing didn't stop when the last apostle died. Are you following me? And I'm going to, by the way, Sunday, Resurrection Sunday service, I'm going to be talking. I got a powerful message that I'm going to be talking about in connection to that as well, about the power of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, I want to end this service. I want to end this service with communion, but go with me to Luke 22. I save communion for the end. Go to Luke 22. My message on Sunday, you want to know what it's called? Third Heaven Connection. Third Heaven Connection. Oh, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a dandy, as they say. Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. In fact, just grab your elements right now, just kind of so you have them ready. We're not doing it yet. Anybody who needs one, Chris will come around. Lift your hands if you need elements. Raise your hands, I should say. Where's mine? Oh, thank you. All right. Communion is absolutely powerful. Amen. And I wanted to do it as the last thing before we pray for people as well. Luke 22, 14 through 20. This is my last passage here. When the hour had come, he, Jesus, sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Now, so Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He is the spotless lamb of God. He lived that sinless life. We need to constantly plead the blood. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over me, over my family, over my spouse, over my children, over my finances, over every part of your life. Amen? And so Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. "This is my body, which is given for you." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Say remembrance. Remembrance. Remember just a little while ago, we were talking about how important it is to remember the benefits, all of God's benefits. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance that there's things that I want you to take advantage of. There's something powerful about holding physical elements in your hand that are symbolic of Jesus' body and his blood. Amen? This is not his body. This is not his blood. It's symbolic of it. How many of you know that, right? Do you have any Catholics in here, right? Okay, there you go. We believe it's symbolic, okay? but there's something powerful about holding the physical elements in our hand that are symbolic. And we do communion to remember, to make it fresh again in our thought life, fresh again in our heart, amen? That's why we do it. He said, "Every time you do this, remember me. Remember what I did." That's what it's about. Communion It's a powerful reminder to get our focus off of the world and off of earthly things, off of sickness, off of disease, off of infirmities, and get our thoughts and focus back on Jesus, back on the promises in the Word of God. It's about getting your focus off of the curse. Get your focus off anything connected to the curse on this earth and back on the blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a reminder as well to stir up gratitude, to stir up thankfulness in your heart and faith in our heart for what Jesus did to us. And I like to say it this way, ready? To get us back to spiritual reality. To get us back to spiritual. I don't care what your body's saying to you right now. I don't care with the doctors. I don't care. Let's get back to God's word, spiritual reality. Amen. We remember so that we can take advantage of all the benefits, the healing, the wholeness, spiritually, physically, spirit, soul, body, to set our heart toward eternity. Amen? Think about that. But while we're passing through this life, God wants us to have a blessed journey. Do you know what the word prosperity means? You want to know what it means? To have a blessed journey. God wants us, you and I, to have a blessed journey on this earth. Why does he want us to be blessed? Because we're part of his body that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ on this earth. Come on, somebody. We are to advance the kingdom of God. And frankly, we can't do that if we're in heaven. Now, praise God. What a blessing. Yes, when I take my last breath, I'm going to be in heaven with my maker, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But doggone it, people, we got a job to do here. Amen. We got a job to do, and God's counting on us. Jesus is counting on us to be ambassadors for him on this earth. You know what my prayer is? I've been praying a lot. You've probably seen it on Facebook. I've been praying a lot in here. And my prayer has been this. Lord, before I go home forever to be with you in heaven, use me. Use me to impact this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ and advance the kingdom of God. Use me. That's my prayer. So, I know some people, they say, man, I can't wait to get up into heaven. I'm just in such a rush, and I'm thinking, there's work to be done here. I want to stay here and be used by the Lord before I go up. So then I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, heaven's going to be amazing. But you know what we're supposed to do as Christians? Bring heaven down to earth. Amen. Bring heaven down to earth. Pull heaven down to earth. That's the advancement of the kingdom of God. Listen, you wouldn't be wanting to go to heaven so bad if you were actually getting busy and you were surrounded by the glory of God and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know the reason why many Christians want to go to heaven so bad? Because they're bored. Ready? They're bored and they're lazy. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, that bounced right back at me. But there's work to be done. And I mean that with all due respect. Maybe not. Okay, no. But listen, Jesus is glorified when you take advantage of the new covenant blessings and benefits. He didn't take stripes on his back and die on that cross for you to stay content in your sickness and disease. He didn't die on that cross for you to stay content in the curse of the law and over your whole life. He did that so you could be blessed, so you can be healed, so you can be used by the Holy Spirit in a mighty way on this earth. Amen? So you got to tap in. The juice is symbolic of Jesus' precious blood that he shed for us. Faith in his blood has the power to deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Think of the power of that. Faith in Jesus' blood will change your spiritual address. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, and by the way, Satan, when your address changes, Satan has no legal authority over you. only what you give him. That's why it says don't give him place. Your address has changed. Come on, amen? So church, let this spiritual reality and truth soak deep into your heart and let it never be forgotten or taken it lightly, that it is finished. When the devil whispers lies to you, you need to shout back, it is finished, amen? Now, your part is to simply believe and receive that into your life, into your spirit, into your soul, into your body, amen? Let's stand up in this place right now. If you could turn on some music, we're going to do communion now. Now, when we do communion, it's a time of also reflection, reflecting on your own life. Is there an area of your life that you know that's not pleasing to the Lord? You know, is there an area of your life where you know you haven't been obedient to the Lord or currently? Put it under the blood. Confess it right now. But Jesus, we remember right now your broken body. The stripes that you took on your body. The pain that you endured as the spotless Lamb of God. Sinless Lamb of God. And every stripe that you were being beaten with. Every sickness, disease, infirmity was being put upon you to bore our sins and to carry them away, including sickness, disease, and infirmity. Come on, is there anybody radical enough to believe the word of God? Who has believed God's report? Who has believed God's report? As you take this bread, I want you to imagine whatever infirmity you're dealing with in your body, I want you to picture that whip going across Jesus' back with the name of that infirmity on it and staying on Jesus, because that's exactly what he did. So Jesus, we remember your broken body, that you did it for our healing. You may partake of the bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ah, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that the kingdom of darkness hates so much, because it strips them of authority over your life when you have faith in his blood and what he accomplished for you. Jesus, we remember that you were not forced on the cross. You willingly went. You willingly went because you kept your eyes on the prize, and that prize is all of us. That prize is to reunite the family of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for your shed blood. We declare faith in your blood of the new, come on, and better covenant. You may partake of the drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do now is, if you need prayer for healing, a breakthrough, anything in your life, I want you just to line up. We're officially ending the service right now. But if you need prayer, come over and just walk through here, and Marianne and I will pray for you here, and then the prayer team's going to pray for you. So you're going through a double car wash, right? Double spiritual car wash tonight. Amen. So visitors, thank you so much for coming tonight. Sorry to tell you, but you're family now because you came into the building and sat through a Pastor James sermon. We love you all, but if you need prayer, come over to this side and we will pray over you. Have a blessed night. And remember, Sunday's coming. Amen? Jesus is alive and well. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Love you all.